At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm well, thank you. I hope you are too.
Yeah. So, it's been 10 years now since the banking crisis started, and the situation seems much improved today. But do you think it's still important for people to be aware of what protection their savings have should a financial institution fail?
Yeah, I think it is important. I mean, all of us lived through the 2008, 2009, well, starting 2007 through 2009, really, banking crisis. Who would ever forget those queues of elderly and other retired individuals queuing up outside the Northern Rock on the basis that they thought their money was never going to come back to them. Indeed, it's still, I saw reported this week that Northern Rock are still charging higher rates of interest on their mortgages simply to try and build up their cash balances within the business. Lloyds Bank took a rescue. The Scottish banks largely took rescues from the government. Lehman Brothers in the States went belly up. It's not... unreasonable to suggest that with borrowing globally at higher levels now than it was in 2008, that you should be paying keen attention to the way in which your bank savings are protected. If you've worked all your life to build up your savings, you really ought to understand at what level you have protection. It's no good another scenario like 2008 popping up, and then it's too late for you to start to do something to protect yourself. I mean, I think you need to work out what your assets are and how you can create the highest level of investor protection with each of your assets, and in particular with things like the banks. The same applies not just to your capital in the bank, but your capital assets that you maybe have invested, like portfolios of equities, how your insurance company assets are protected. You remember AEG went bust in a big way, sponsoring huge teams like Manchester United and backing up lots of guarantees within the insurance industry, only to find they were worthless when, the proverbial hit the fan back in 2008.
Can we start then, Bill, with EU banks such as in France and Spain? What guarantees do they offer for your bank savings?
That's one of the great advantages of the EU, in a sense, is that they have institutionalised legislatively the level of guarantee that you have if you are making your deposits in an EU member state. Under an EU directive, every EU country provides a bank deposit guarantee of 100,000 euros per individual. In the event a bank fails, your national deposit guarantee scheme will refund your savings up to the limit of 100,000. Savings above 100,000 in one banking institution could be lost if your bank fails. You might receive additional funds following any distribution of assets that the bank may have if they do collapse as part of the insolvency process. But unfortunately, there's rarely something to distribute if a bank goes belly up. They usually have more liabilities than they do assets when it really becomes serious. The case with Lehman Brothers is a good example. But you are guaranteed individual protection within the EU banking industry of up to a minimum of 100,000 euros per individual.
Mm, interesting. Are there any particular points that people should still be aware of, Bill?
Just to emphasise it, that deposits are covered under the schemes, both in the UK, Spain, France, Portugal. Deposits are covered per depositor. So if you're a couple with joint accounts, you'll have 200,000 euros protected. But what it is vital to remember is that the guarantee is per banking group, not per bank account or even per bank. Some banks with different names form part of the same banking group, and you need to be sure, for example, that if you are, for example, banking with I don't know, a bank in the Channel Islands, as an example, not that the banks in the Channel Islands are at risk, I don't think they are, but as an example, if you bank the bank in the Channel Islands and it's called ABC Bank Limited, you need to know whether that is a direct subsidiary of a bank in the UK, for example, because if the bank in the UK, if you have money in that bank and you have money in the bank in the Jersey branch, the subsidiary company, it's 100,000 in total for that group, not just per bank account. Now, you know, you just need to be careful there, because a lot of people think when they bank with one bank that they're protected, and then put some money in another bank and they're protected there. You just got to be sure they aren't part of the same banking group.
So what about the UK banks, Bill?
In the UK, the accounts are also regulated. Under the EU directive, they're protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. The amount protected is meant to be equivalent to the protection offered in the EU, and currently that sits at £85,000 sterling, given the exchange rate, and that has changed marginally from time to time, depending on the exchange rate. And as in Europe, the UK protection is as per it is there, per depositor. So again, accounts in joint names are protected up to 170,000, and it's also per banking institution. So make sure that if you have, as a depositor in the UK, 170,000 in Bank A and 170,000 in Bank B, make sure they're not part of the same banking group. If they are, you're only going to be protected up to 170,000, whereas if you move the other 170,000 to an unrelated, different bank, you would have protection in that bank too, if you've got a joint account. An institution isn't the same as a bank. For example, and again, not to suggest there's anything improper about these banks, as an example, if you put your money, 170,000 in joint accounts, married partners, let's say, into the Halifax, you would be protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. But if you put 170,000 in joint accounts with the Bank of Scotland, they are part of the same institution, and part of your protection would be lost because, as I say, the protection is per institution. The length of time that every claim you make takes to process, of course, and you know, it depends on a number of factors. Some of them are outside of the control of the compensation scheme, but you can take it from me that despite the promises that they would pay in a very short space of time, my experience tends to suggest that you will be waiting a long time for your compensation. It isn't a quick or simple process. They talk about paying most of the claims within 7 days or within 20 working days where there is complexity. I rarely find that that happens. I have discovered in the past that compensation takes a lot longer to pay than the promises that are made on paper.
Many expatriates here in Spain keep sterling savings in the UK offshore centres. What protection do Isle of Man banks provide? Is it the same as the UK, Bill?
Well, as you might expect, the banks in the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man are not covered under the UK scheme, even if they are a division of a UK bank, which is quite common. Instead, you need to then rely upon whatever local guarantee scheme is in place. And unfortunately, in every case of the UK offshore islands, the levels of protection are much lower. The Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, which is set up by the Isle of Man government, provides compensation of up to 50,000 for the banks that are covered by the scheme. There isn't a time limit for the payment of the compensation as there is under the mainland UK scheme. The amount of compensation paid and the timing of the payments that they will make are dependent upon the size, the asset quality and profile of the bank which fails, and the amount of funding which has been contributed by the bank. There is no standing fund for the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme. It's funded if and when required by contributions from the banks that are covered under the scheme and who participate in it, and the Isle of Man Treasury. And it's capped at 200,000 per deposit institution for a 10-year period. So, you know, if a big bank was to get belly up in the Isle of Man, what you get will depend largely upon the contributions other banks make in under the scheme, and also limited by the amount of contributions that those other banks make, which might mean that although the scheme is compensation up to 50,000, And even if you have 100,000, you might end up with less than 50,000 being paid to you if the scheme didn't have the wherewithal to pay you at 50,000.
Yeah, complicated. What about Jersey and Guernsey, Bill?
Yeah, that's different too. The limit of Jersey and Guernsey depositors' compensation scheme is also set at 50,000, but it's capped at 100 million in any 5-year period. Now, it sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, 100 million to a banking institution is the kind of revenue that comes through the, you know, the bank on a daily basis. So if there was a serious collapse, the whole compensation schemes in each of those islands is capped at 100 million in any 5-year period. What you wouldn't want to happen is to be the victim of a claim being made in year 4 after a claim arose in year 1, where the whole of the 100 million was soaked up by compensation, because I'm afraid you'd be out of the money. They do try to issue in Jersey and Guernsey, unlike the Isle of Man, they do try to issue a short-term payment of up to £5,000 within 7 days of the compensation being available. And also they try to pay out the balance of that compensation within 3 months of it taking place.
So what can people do to achieve higher protection for their savings and investment capital?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question, but and it does take a bit of energy to get this right. A lot of savers who hold large cash deposits do tend these days to spread them out over more than one bank outside and more than one group of banks. It results in a lot more paperwork with the know your client and the anti-money laundering requirements of the banks, but it's actually worth it. Some people, more sensibly in my view, have opted to move their capital into structured arrangements which provide a higher level of investor protection than the banks can offer. I mean, an example of that, for instance, is that if you invest in the A-rated, AAA-rated cash funds that are assets within a Luxembourg-regulated investment bond, then your investments are protected as to 100% should the insurance company fail, because whilst they offer the structure to hold your investments, they don't actually get their hands on your investments or your money. They simply provide the structure. Your assets are held by a third party custodian bank who are in turn underwritten by the Luxembourg government. I mean, Luxembourg does provide, in my opinion, probably the best level of investor protection for things like insurance bonds compared to anywhere else in Europe. I mean, the cornerstone of that investor protection regime is the legal requirement that all the client's assets have to be held by an independent custodian bank. That bank has to be approved by the state regulator, the Commissariat for Assurances. That the bank is also required to ring fence the client's securities, the investments, funds, the shares, the bonds, so that those assets are actually off their balance sheet. They can't use those assets as part of their trading activity. And if the bank fails, then those securities remain in a segregated client account, so that 100% of the policyholder securities are entirely protected. That you can't get much better than that. This doesn't include cash deposits, but if you hold your cash in monetary funds, cash-based monetary funds, they're treated as securities in the same way as other assets, and they're also protected under the Luxembourg regulatory provisions. Diversification, again, and certainty over the way in which your assets are protected is an important part of understanding how you manage your wealth.
Yeah. Do these arrangements you've been talking about, Bill, provide any other benefits for people in Spain?
Well, you know, look, in the modern world, with all the shocks we've had back in 2008, 2009, you know, individuals are very concerned to protect their wealth. I mean, people want to make money, but they don't want to lose the wealth they've got. So we treat the security of the client's capital and the income that arises from it as sacrosanct. We understand that we are, in a sense, the custodians of other people's money. However, if you get past the protection point and you've looked at, let's say, you've looked at holding a Luxembourg issued insurance bond within which you can hold your investment portfolio, unit trusts, offshore funds, corporate bonds, and cash funds, A-rated, AAA-rated in some cases, better than some of the banks and building societies. If you put your assets in a structure like that, then the benefits in Spain are incredible. Beyond protection, you're now looking at a form of asset which is protected as to income tax, as to capital gains tax, and in many cases as to succession tax, simply because the legislation which covers that structure is based on insurance law and not on the same investment income law that assets outside of such a structure are treated. So, yes, there are massive advantages as well as the protection that you're afforded by virtue of having something like a Luxembourg insurance bond.
Mm. So finally, Bill, do you have any other advice for listeners on how to reduce institutional risk?
It's a very difficult proposition for individuals to understand the likely level of institutional risk because they often don't have access to the interior workings and the balance sheet of the institutions in which they're investing. But of course, within Blevins Franks, that kind of understanding about the potential of institutional risk is sacrosanct in our process of calculating who we should use and who we should not use. And of course, we use well-regarded outside agencies to validate the institutions with whom we then make investments on behalf of clients to ensure that at one level, the investment in institutional risk is considered along with the potential for making profit. So it's a very difficult concept. Everyone would have suspected that Northern Rock would have been safe 10 days before it went belly up, but it went belly up very surprisingly. But within Blevins Franks, we have third-party consultancies that give us access to the inner workings of the institutions with whom we place investments so that we are limiting the risk to a very, very low level.
And how can our listeners, Bill, get in touch with Blevins Franks?
Well, the easiest way, of course, is to use the internet. And if you go to the website www.blevinsfranks.com, there will be a local office not too far away from you with a phone number. If you get in touch with them, they will, of course, talk to you about the kind of institutions that we might be considering if you wish to become a client, so that you're well aware in advance of becoming a client quite what we have done to protect your wealth.
Well done, Bill. We'll talk again in Spain at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Thank you very much.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.